Welcome to The Savage Truth with Cicely Davis. I am your host, Cicely Davis.
So you got pretty heated, Anthony, at times.
Because, Joe, how did I get heated? What did I say, Joe?
About Trump?
Yeah, what did I say? I said I repeated what he was saying. And I said this is wrong.
Anthony, come on, Joe. You have had an utter disdain for Trump. You'll always be welcome at the table of legacy media and have people nodding as you trash Trump. That's always going to happen. But aren't you the slightest bit embarrassed or at least humbled about how wrong you were about the feeling of most Americans, let me finish, and for enthusiastically supporting a candidate who a majority of people thought had no business being anywhere near the Oval Office? And you're a Republican, and you saw that all the different policies that she was talking about are anathema to what you thought your whole life, and yet you went along with it. Do you ever eat any crow?
Savage beast, savage. Shout out to Joe Kearney on CNBC for that amazing clip. Oh my gosh, this is going to be such an amazing 4 years. What a great way to start the show with a disgraceful former White House press secretary fired by the great Don. Of course, I'm referring to Donald Trump in 2017, a supposed Republican, a disgrace, who sat on TV bashing Donald Trump because he was embarrassed and his ego was hurt, supporting Kamala Harris, even though everything, absolutely every policy, every stance that she stood for, he was against. What a disgrace. Two middle fingers. I'm not going to do it on the camera, but two middle fingers up to Anthony Sacramucci. Okay, they call him the Mooch. And that in itself should tell you everything. And so many others. All right. Did you notice? This is so great about this whole clip. Did you notice Vivek Ramaswamy sitting in the middle of that with a little bit of a smirk on his face? He was absolutely enjoying the Mooch as he squirmed in his seat. Did you see the look on his face? I am loving it. Welcome back, savages, to The Savage Truth. I am your very, very celebratory host, Cicely Davis, ecstatic and happy to have you join me for the 85th episode of The Savage Truth. For those of you who are new, welcome. Come on back. Make yourself at home. Bring somebody with you. Tell someone else about the show. Show up next week or for the very next episode. For those of you who are loyalists, you know, my ride or dies, those of you who have been with me since the beginning or just joined last week and you're now an oldie, I appreciate you. I don't even want to think about doing this without you. I have one ask and it's always the same. And it's this: to please like, share, subscribe, and leave a positive review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Let's get into this because, like I said, I'm still celebrating and you should be as well. Still celebrating, savages, and you should be joining me on this, not just because Donald Trump has pulled off the greatest comeback in political history, not just because he was the 45th and now the 47th president of the United States, not just because J.D. Vance will be the VP of the Trump administration, making it an absolutely savage administration and team because they're so very smart. And Donald Trump actually has a real team, and he's going to pull off the greatest administration we've seen in a very, 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 very long time. They're actually going to put smart people in the White House to actually accomplish things for the American people. Americans who showed up. That's who we are. We showed up. We executed, and we made our voices heard, and we kicked the lefty, woke, DEI, CRT, BLM, white fragility, 1619 project, white privilege, anti-white, disgusting black supremacy, anti-patriarchy, anti-gun, anti-First Amendment, anti-patriotism, anti-family, anti-Judeo-Christian faith, anti-constitution, anti-American agenda to the curb. And it feels so darn good. American people, what we have done is we've joined together to do a suplex on the necks of the Democratic Party, on the necks of Democrats and commies and Marxists and socialists and their entire agenda. And I'm clearly loving it. Whew, I'm so excited. I am so very excited. I'm starting to sweat. I got to tell you, savages, I'm going to be excited for quite some time. Okay. I got to be honest with you. And you should too. I'm sure you're feeling this exhilaration, this excitement that I feel, because I just feel like there's a reason to have hope again. I feel great when I wake up in the morning, and I'm so very hopeful for this red, white, and blue. But let me do an actual show today, okay? Because you didn't tune in to just have me root and toot, although that would be a lot of fun. There is so much to talk about. Stay tuned, because I will be discussing in the next episode the disgrace named and unfortunately known individual named Tim Walz. You know who Tim Walz is by now. You know, the crybaby Elmer Fudd, howdy doody governor here in Minnesota. Because you all need to know. You actually need to know what it's like here in Minnesota, now that he's off the VP trail and dragging his sorry ass back to the state. Okay. We need to understand. I want you to understand the sentiment here, the consensus, what we're feeling. So stay tuned for that as he returns. But the story for this episode is about how the Dems are turning each other. They're tearing each other apart. They are blaming. They are name blaming. They are strategy blaming one another. They are literally eating each other alive. They are fighting like cats and dogs. And we get to have a VIP front row seat to watch it all. So grab your snacks, grab your beverages of choice, pull up a chair and tune in. Now, you might want to wear some kind of shield or protective wear, because here in the front row, okay, you might get hit with some fluids, tears from crying, and some blood from all the slinging that's going on. So here we go. Ready, set, go. Okay, first up, Rick. Okay, Rick, show the map of this exceptional U.S. of A, in particular, all the red representing the states, the cities, and the counties that voted for Trump. Ah, look at that. Look at that. Look at that. Please. All that red. It's so beautiful. Kind of reminds me of the glory days of 1984. You know, I was too young to really appreciate, but I remember Ronald Reagan in office, right? 49 out of 50 states voting red, the American people coming together, right? But Axios, who's no friend of ours, okay, writes a post-election article after that night. Now, Rick, show this as well. Put this up. Okay, so what you're looking at, folks, is Axios, who are, again, no friends of ours. They have a headline and it reads, Harris-Biden camp blame each other for loss. It goes on to say, as stated by Alex Thompson, who actually wrote the article here in our Axios, finger-pointing advisors of Vice President Harris and President Biden agree on one thing, that President-elect Trump's victory is the other one's fault. They're pointing fingers at each other, all the infight. Now, I would love to be a fly on the wall right now in the White House after Kamala drags her sorry tail back to the White House and see what that's like as they just completely kicked Joe Biden out, ran a coup, didn't even allow the man to show up in his own state to rally for Kamala. And now they have to go back with tail between legs and try to lead the American people for the last, I don't know, 60 days or so. I mean, I would love to be a fly in the wall. Everyone knows, everybody has heard. So at this point, it's almost factual that the two administrations actually do not like each other. Now, in response to Trump's decisive victory, aides in both camps are blaming the other for being more responsible, according to interviews with more than a dozen people in the White House and Harris's campaign. The significance of this, let me talk about this, okay? The significance of this is that the Democratic cannibalism is good for us. It's good for the red. It's good for the right side. It's good for the red side. The more they fight, the more they blame, the less they are focused on us. We then get more time to spread and lock in the conservative American agenda. This is an actual tactical value for this, right? There's actual tactical value for keeping this going. Now, remember, for the longest time and right up to election night, November 5th, 2024, okay, we were what? Deplorables. We were racist. We were fascists. We were garbage. We were rednecks. We were flyover country ignorance. We were homophobes, transphobes. We were misogynists, Islamophobes, and every other negative derogatory adjective that you can think of. And now there's a curve in the finger, right? They actually have to point at themselves because they have no one else to blame but themselves. And their precious, precious Democratic Prince Obama, they're even blaming him, right? The Prince of the Democratic Party. So according to another literary enemy of ours, the LA Times, again, clearly no friend of ours, they wrote an article as well. Here's the headline, and I quote, "Lots to blame for Harris's dismal finish, including blunders by Obama and Biden." Now, this is so bad that they are actually willing to put blame on their precious Obama. That's how bad things are. So George Skelton writes out of the Capital Journal for the LA Times, and I quote, "It shouldn't have even been close running against a man with his disqualifications. And in fact, it wasn't. Republican Donald Trump won with ease. Oh, we know. It started with the betrayal by President Obama in 2016. The blame begins with him." Wow. Now I continue. "Obama reportedly shoved aside his own vice president, Joe Biden, and backed Hillary Clinton for president. He dissuaded Biden from running. Democrats thus missed their grand opportunity. Biden was at his peak back then and probably would have beaten Trump, nipping his political career in the bud. Why'd Obama do that? We can only guess. But here's my assumption. In 2008, after Obama had beaten Clinton in a bitter race for the party's nomination, he was desperate for the unifying support. They met face-to-face at California Senator Dianne Feinstein's home in Washington, D.C. I don't know the precise deal they cut, but after his election, Obama gave Clinton the coveted Secretary of State post, and after 8 years later, backed her for president over Biden. Now, for the next 2 years, let's let them beat each other up. That's what I say. Let's let them beat each other up as we solidify with a Senate and a House that is conservative. Americans first agenda. That's what we need. That's what we need to endure. And if we do that, we can endure that agenda and forge it for the next 8 to 16 years to come. What the Dems don't understand, ladies and gentlemen, savage Americans, is America. They don't understand us. They don't understand what men are. That's clear with all the ample commercials that they put on, trying to make Democrat men appear to be real men that identify. They're holding guns. They're off shooting. They're shooting guns and actually, you know, shooting reporters and things like that. They had walls out there, didn't know how to handle his gun. They don't understand what men are, what American men are, and how actual American men identify. They don't know what women are. They don't know who Americans are. They don't know how we think. They don't know what we love. They don't understand or know how we move and what moves us. They have spent the entire of Obama's administration and then, of course, the Biden administration alienating Americans and attempting to erase our dreams, attempting to erase our freedoms and our liberties that lend to our unique and distinct right to self-determine. They have pushed an agenda that has increased the government's role and say in our lives. But as of November 5th, 2024, we took it back. We're back. Now, to those politicians, to those senators, the congressmen and women, Congress members, to governors and bureaucrats, et cetera, that are on the right side that claim to be conservatives, I'm telling you this right now. You are being charged. We have done our jobs, okay? Those of us on this side of the camera and the microphone have encouraged people to go out and vote and to show up and implement, and other podcasters, okay? Everybody's done their job. The American people went out to the ballot box. They responded to the encouragement by people like me and others. Now it's your turn. The power is in your hands. We have elected you to do a job. Go to Washington and execute. It's your turn. We need you to secure our borders. We are looking for you to get that inflation down. We need you to change the education system so it works for all children. We need to drill, baby, drill. OK, okay, so we can support and inflate our economy. And for God's sakes, please uphold the law, okay? Uphold the law so that crime becomes actually illegal again across America. Now, I really, really, really want to drive this message home because we are so bad. And I'm telling you, do not be afraid to celebrate. You have every single reason to be excited. You have every single reason to be hopeful because America was at the brink of either civil war or turning into something that we would not have been recognized. And it would have taken a very long time for us to get it back. But we're back, baby. Celebrate, but then recognize that there is work that needs to be done. Okay. We cannot become complacent. We need to recognize and remember what it was like when we were being called names. Remember what it was like when you were being deplatformed or when friends defriended you off your social media pages. Remember what it was like when family members shunned you or when you lost friendships because you had a different perspective. Remember what it was like in conversations when you were called names because you didn't support mutilation of children, okay? Remember all that, keep it inside, and let that be a motivator for you to keep America on the straight and narrow. Without the success and the vibrance of America, the entire globe suffers, okay? Now, to end this episode, I really want to drive this message home. And I would like to close this episode with the words of Van Jones. Brick, will you play it? Oh, this is so good.
I'm thinking about the people who are not a part of anybody's elite, who are hurting tonight. There are African-American women who know a little bit about being talked down to and know a little bit about having their economic dreams crushed, who try to dream a big dream over the past couple of months. And tonight they're trading in a lot of hope for a lot of hurt. And they were hoping that maybe this time, one of their own could be seen as worthy. And once again, they're facing rejection. And that hurts. They thought tomorrow morning they're gonna walk out with their shoulders back a little bit, maybe able to breathe for the first time and feel like they belong someplace. They did everything that they knew how to do. And it's going to be harder than it should be tomorrow for them to hold their heads up. And they're not the only people who are hurting tonight. If you're a trans, if you're a parent of a trans kid, your child's face was used as a springboard to power for somebody. That doesn't feel good. There are going to be people tomorrow, we're going to be handing clothes at the dry cleaners to people who don't have papers. There are going to be people who are going to be cleaning your teeth tomorrow who don't have papers, and they're terrified tonight. And so it's easy to blow this off. Oh, look at the elites. They're going to get their comeuppance. It's not the elite that's going to pay the price. It's people who woke up this morning with a dream and are going to bed with a nightmare. And those people didn't deserve to be respected and held and talked to. Those are the people who are going to pay the price for whatever Donald Trump decides to do.
I really, really, really enjoy that. Oh my goodness. This is what it's like. They are imploding from the inside out. Democrats are hard-headed, okay? It's going to take them a really long time to get their way of leading and influencing people out of their system. It's going to take them a long time to lay down their divisiveness. It's going to take them a long time to recognize that they are actually the problem, that Americans do not identify with them, that Americans want freedom, that they absolutely want to fight and uphold the American way of life, right? And so while they do that, let's take this opportunity, okay, to enjoy the infighting, but drive this conservative agenda home so that our children have an America that they look forward to and they want to pass the baton for generations to come. Now, more importantly, I'm going to return. I'm going to tell you about walls because I'm still celebrating. I hope you feel as good as I do. November 5th, 2024 will go down in history as the greatest political comeback in history. I'm going to tell you about walls and what it's like. But in the meantime, folks, absolutely celebrate. Continue to understand and know that America is back. And remember, as always, be bold, be strong, be faithful, be true. Till next time, I'm Cicely.
The Savage Truth with Cicely Davis is a production of Front Page Magazine and the David Horowitz Freedom Center. Reproduction of this podcast without express written consent is prohibited.